Good afternoon. We are going to start the regular meeting of the Internal Ops Committee. Has roll call been taken?
Roll call's been taken. Let the record show all members are present.
Thank you. This is the time of public comment. The public may address the committee of any issues within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. This is something that you can comment on for 3 minutes, and we are listening, definitely, but are not able to comment back to you. Is there anybody online for public comment?
There is, but no hands are raised.
Okay. And then it looks like there is no one here, so we're going to go ahead and close public comment. We are now moving to the consent calendar. Is there any questions on the consent calendar or anything that we need to change on it or amend?
Staff has no changes.
Any questions or discussion from you?
No, there is not.
Okay. Can we get a motion to approve?
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
Perfect. I second that. So that is done. Are there any updates from staff on anything?
No updates.
Okay. And it looks like there's no presentations,
no
just to be
presentations.
clear. Perfect. We're moving through this quickly. Discussion items. It looks like we have F1, which is the discussion and possible recommendation to adopt Resolution 2026-10, rescinding the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors, Policy 16, introductory period, new employees. Like Assistant General Manager Griswold is up on this.
Yes, thank you and good afternoon. So the item before you, just a little bit of background on this. On January 2nd, 2013, the Board of Directors adopted resolution number 2013-01, which established a 180-day introductory period for newly hired employees. The board then adopted policy number 16, which codified that policy from the resolution in place. Staff has completed a comprehensive review of the district's board resolutions and policies in an effort to eliminate duplicate or obsolete documents. The provisions contained in Resolution 2301 and subsequently Policy 16 have already been incorporated into the newly adopted Policy 005, which is the town's personnel manual and serves as the district's governing document for personnel policies. Therefore, adoption of the proposed resolution will rescind Resolution 2013-01 and repeal Policy Number 16, which eliminates duplicative governance while maintaining the existing 180-day introductory period for new personnel. So again, essentially we took it from this existing policy, put it into the personnel manual, and now we're just trying to clean up and remove this policy that is null and void since it's
In
a
the
personnel
person.
manual. Correct.
Okay.
Happy to answer any questions.
So we're just doing duplication.
Trying to eliminate duplication.
Yes, I
Correct.
didn't phrase that correctly. Perfect. Do you have any questions?
I don't, other than I support a 180-day introductory period. I think it's really important.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So other than that, I am supportive of this change.
Okay, perfect. So I would say the committee is supportive of this and would say move forward.
Awesome. And that, so the committee knows that item as well as this next item, F2, are both on the board of directors agenda for this evening. So you'll see that
Perfect.
again at the board.
Let's move on to discussion item F2, possible recommendation to adopt 2026-11, rescinding the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors Policy 24, use of town equipment for local nonprofit.
Yes, thank you. So on September 2nd, 2015, the Board of Directors adopted resolution number 2015-16, which established policy number 24, authorizing the use of certain district-owned equipment to qualifying local nonprofits for community events. Staff has reviewed the district's existing board policies and determined that policy number 4 is no longer necessary and does not reflect the district's current operational practices. The district no longer wishes to maintain a formal program allowing outside organizations to use district-owned equipment. Adoption of the proposed resolution will rescind resolution number 2015-16 and repeal policy number 24, removing this policy from our manual. Happy to answer any questions you have on that.
So this was saying they could use anything, correct? This policy was.
It wasn't anything. There were some caveats listed in here as far as the types of equipment
Okay.
that were authorized for them to use, portable generators, trailerable light stands, message boards, rolling stock, and equipment. Again, it has not been common practice for the district to do this for a number of years, I've been told. And again, it's not something that we feel is in the best interest of the district or our resources to allow those things to be rented out to nonprofits.
My question was going to be what historically have the frequency and the types of equipment, it sounds like it's kind of been a non-issue.
It has, yeah. I had checked in with staff, and to the best of our knowledge, it's been about 4 or 5 years, more than likely, since the last time that this was actually put into place. So we've had events that have utilized town equipment, but that was part of a fee that they paid and part of their rental application for the community center, for example. The light stand out in the parking lot was part of an overall rental of the facility, but not, hey, come grab our light tower and take it to wherever your event is at and you can rent it. That's what this policy really was aimed at and was what we're trying to get away from.
Okay, and just to be clear, still going forward in the future, if there is a rental type of contract created, some rental pieces like the generator can be negotiated and included, but
correct.
The liability is wrapped within that contractual obligation.
That is correct. And again, it gives the board of directors and staff the ability to include or not include those things depending on the type of event and risk factors and things like that, but not as a blanket policy where we have to do that. So,
okay. I'm in support of it.
Yeah, I am as well.
Okay.
Yep.
I forgot to ask last time, are there any public comments?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, perfect. So I would say as a committee, we agree to this and support it. Okay, now we are going to discussion F3, possible recommendation to adopt proposal to submit Discovery Bay voters, limiting the number of terms of town Discovery Bay board of directors may serve.
Yes, thank you. So this is an item that was continued from our last internal operations committee meeting. The direction that staff received from the committee at that last meeting was to bring this back with the addition of cost. And so in your staff report, it outlines the full history of this item. I think what's most important to note here is that this item had come before the board originally in December of 2021 and then again in February of 2022, almost exactly as laid out here. And the cost has actually remained the same. As it was in 2022. So these numbers were received from the County Elections Division. They are estimates, that's their best guess. If we were to move forward with placing something like this on a ballot, it would cost the district somewhere between $29,000 and $40,000 just for this item to be included in the, and this is for the November general election. The other thing to be cognizant of is that the deadline to have an item placed on the ballot for this November election is actually August 7th, this Friday. And so there are some board actions that would be required to complete prior to that, making this unlikely to be accomplished in time for the November election. So we would be looking at a primary election at some future date if this is something that the board were to move forward with. But those are the costs that remain pretty consistent, clearly, from year to year. As per the county elections division. So again, we already kind of had a conversation on this a little bit, so staff just wanted to provide some additional information, but we're looking for your direction and your feedback on, you know, how you'd like to proceed with this.
I have a question. It's not about cost. It's about what happens if there's like only two people that run and it's a 3-year position. So does that allow someone else that maybe has termed out to run or be placed, or what happens in a situation like that?
Yeah, so my understanding of it and legal counsel, we can get some more in-depth answer later if we need to. No, when you're termed out and you've exceeded the maximum number of years in whatever term limit we were to set, you cannot hold that office at any point in the future, regardless of if nobody else runs. So as an individual director, once you've hit those term limits, you're done. To your question about what happens if there's three openings and only one person runs, that's a question for the county, the elections division. What I understand they do is they allow for more time for filing. They'll have an extended period of time to try to see if they can get anybody else to be interested in running. And at that point, there is a process in place for, in our case, the county to come in and be able to make appointments to unfilled seats if you get to that point where there's been no interest and nobody from the community running. But yeah, once someone is termed out by whatever we were to lay out here, they would not be able to hold one of these seats at any point.
And so then if it gets to the point where the county appoints, do they allow for people to say, hey, I'm interested, I want to be appointed, or they just go through the community and find someone and say, this is the person on your board?
Unclear. I'm not familiar with that that process. We could come back and we can get that information. I don't believe it's a direct appointment in the way that the supervisors point to advisory bodies. I don't think that they can just go out and pick someone and say, hey, I'd like you to be on that. I think it needs to be an application process, is my understanding of what I've seen in cities take place. I don't know 100% if that's how they would do it for a special district board.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Oh, on mine?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting. Now that I'm sitting here on the board, I understand the value of some consistency and longevity to understanding the complexities of some of the issues. While I am an advocate for term limits and having fresh, you know, ideas and people and views I think that this is a relatively very expensive endeavor, and that perhaps the timing of this isn't appropriate. Maybe this is something that is re-looked at in the future. I had no idea that it would be this expensive to put it on the ballot. So, and I think that in terms of being fiscally responsible, I think that most of the people of this town, I think, would support that at this time. And there really isn't a need. I think there's been enough churn in the past on this board that there's been diverse ideas and people sitting up here. Maybe if you get to a point where everybody's been on for 10 years and there's been no change, then it needs to be looked at again. But I don't know, that's my position.
No, I agree with that. I'm an advocate for term limits as well, but you know, like looking at who's applied for this next round of voting for the seats that are up, at this point, it doesn't even look like we have enough people to fill the seats if nobody else applies for it. And so my concern would be similar, like it takes a long time to kind of figure out the intricacies of some of this stuff, especially like the water portion of it and some of that. And so I think because of that, I think you need a little bit of longevity. And again, that's a large expense for something. Like, I guess we're still, like, we're at that phase of like small, almost big, small, growing. And so I agree with you. I think it was maybe something that needs to be re-looked at in a couple of years.
I think we were responsible for looking at it.
100%.
And reviewing it. But I think that we need to just wait.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is there any public comment on this?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, perfect. So I think if we agree, the recommendation for this would be to, not do it at this point, not bring it to the board.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Perfect. Moving on to F4, discussion and possible recommendations to amend the Board of Directors bylaw to alter Board of Directors meeting frequencies.
Yes, thank you. So again, this was an item that was before you at the last meeting, the internal ops meeting. And similarly, we came back with some estimates in terms of costs, in this case, savings, if we were to move forward with this item. And I'll lay that out here. It's in the fiscal impact section of your staff report. But basically what staff was able to determine that there's an approximate savings of about $14,750 to the district by eliminating what we're proposing in here. Should you choose to move forward with it, would have been an elimination of 10 meetings. Again, we do 2 meetings a month currently. There are some months in here that staff has recommended if you move this direction, we would encourage at least keeping meetings in the months of June and November. So that would eliminate the other 10 meetings in the month. And so when we calculate board member stipends for 5 members, that's $5,750. Our legal counsel time is approximately $3,000. And then staff time, including our clerk in preparing and posting, myself and your general manager in reviewing, is about $6,000 of staff time for those agendas, equaling that $14,750.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Is this calculated per meeting, or is it the 10 meetings that are proposed?
This is for the 10 meetings that are proposed. If we don't hold those 10 meetings, gotcha. There's an estimated savings of that
amount. Okay, wow, it's much lower than okay.
Yeah, the board member stipends are, as you know, 115 per meeting.
Yeah, they're very low. But the staff time, I mean, the agenda preparation, I would think that there would be a lot of hidden costs there. Okay.
Yeah, it does vary too, you know, from meeting to meeting. We do have some board agendas that are fairly light and we get through them pretty quickly. We have some that are really beefy and take us, you know, kind of twice as much time. So we tried to land somewhere in the middle and averaging out, you know, hours and time spent on that. But also really it only involves, in terms of the heavy lifting for an agenda, it's three staff. It's Kelly as your board secretary, myself, and Dina as the general manager. So there's not a typically a ton of other staff that are involved in the board agendas particularly.
I have a couple of questions about that. So we can hold special meetings anytime.
That's correct.
But can we cancel meetings? Like if the board director or head of the board is looking at the agenda with you and general manager and it looks light, do they have the ability to say, I think this is a really light agenda, can we move this to next month's agenda and cancel the meeting? Or because we've established two meetings a month, it has to be two meetings a month.
Yeah, we've established that precedent of two meetings per month. And this board has taken the position in the past of voting as a board typically to cancel meetings in advance. So that's been the standard practice. So if we know there's holidays or things, we'll typically bring that to you as a consent item so that the majority of the board is voting on that. But yeah, because we've set that precedent, we have the option to cancel. Yes, that option does exist, but it's not one that we have typically exercised for those reasons.
Thank you. Any questions or thoughts on this?
Well, I guess the fiscal impact is so little. It really doesn't make it. I just thought for efficiency purposes, it just did seem better just to have one meeting.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah. So I guess I would prefer that the town is only obligated to one meeting per month, and then that we could have special meetings as needed. I don't know if that's something that we can do.
Yeah, I think from staff's perspective, the only really two things that we wanted to weigh or consider is that there's an aspect of kind of the public expectation and as we know, our participation is varied from the public in certain meetings, but there is that expectation of frequency of meetings. And so I think whatever the option is, we want to make sure that it's one that's clearly communicated and folks can understand that frequency and it's not subject to a ton of change. The other thing from staff's perspective is making sure that we have board member availability. You know, we don't want to get to a point where it's kind of we'll have the meeting as needed, but then folks are traveling and working and have different commitments, and it becomes a challenge to get a quorum of board members if we're doing what I'll say no notice or like kind of short notice meetings as a standing practice. So those were some things that staff just wanted to make sure are, you know, kind of considered in the deliberations, is that we do need to meet quorum to have those meetings. And so scheduling can potentially become a challenge.
When was the last time this was reviewed?
That's a good question.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hit you with
something. No, that's okay. I don't have the answer.
Like 1920?
Not since I've been with the district. I don't know about before.
This has never been reviewed since I've been here.
I just think that perhaps we might have more people that are willing to participate as directors. It's a big commitment to have two meetings per month and then additional committee meetings on top of that, and that if it was a commitment of just one meeting per month and two, you know, during June and November, perhaps that might entice someone that it does work full time and has a busy schedule to, you know, be a director that normally wouldn't have the time to do it. I'd like to see what the larger board has to say on this matter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, I would like to say I agree with one meeting a month, but I do know kind of how much stuff we have to work on in the next couple years. And so my concern would be, is that going to limit how we can get that work done, right? So I'm conflicted a little bit on it. Like, I know that there's meetings and I agree with you, like, we're both working. Sometimes it's super hard to get here, or like, we're working in different places and it's a long drive and you're going to be late. And so, you know, I'm conflicted.
I am as well. And so that's why I'm leaning towards, I think that we should allow our other
directors. I'm game for that.
Are you down for that?
I am 100% down for that.
And maybe what staff would do then is not necessarily bring it in this fashion with kind of a preset months and kick it to one, if that's what I'm hearing from the committee. Instead, bring it as an open discussion to say this is maybe a problem as we see it, and then discuss what the options might be. Is that the direction?
I think that's, like, we can't make a decision on it without hearing from our other board members. And, you know, and maybe the discussion is there a different way to do this that would allow people that are working full time to participate, or not just, you know, dissuade them from running for the board. You know, maybe there's a different avenue to making that happen.
Yeah, and I think to your point, if even the discussion is around the a delegation or ability to cancel meetings, if the need arises to cancel those meetings, doesn't change what the bylaws say about the set frequency of them, but if the standard practice becomes cancel meetings if they're not needed, that might, you know, also end up having the same end result, but not formally changing it in a way that alters too much for the public.
I think too, I mean, when COVID happened, you had the ability to do a meeting virtually, right? And now the way, and I think, I don't know if this is state or county or us, but now if you are going to take something virtually and you're not sick, for example, but you know, it's an unplanned thing, unless you've stated where you're at and where you're going and it's published on the agenda before, then you don't have the ability to take something virtually. And so, you know, my opinion of it is, if we are going to have two meetings a month and you have to be there and you're working, like, sometimes I think there needs to be flexibility to be able to do something virtually if needed.
Yeah, and I think to some extent that'll be outside the scope of what.
Yeah,
it's a Brown thing. Act, and it's a state thing to some extent, as far as being at a Brown Act meeting and things like that. But
I mean, it would be great if you could say, have the ability to say on the agenda before, like, I might be taking it virtually because I'm stuck on 580 or 880 and I'm in my car, no one else is around. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I don't know. I agree with you. I think we would be able to have people that are working be more willing to run if there was some flexibility in that.
Yeah. So again, I think staff will take that. We'll put it on an agenda for discussion, open it up, make it a little bit more broad. And maybe that turns into a conversation about when committee meetings are scheduled versus board. You can have that more open-ended conversation and formulate some direction for staff from there.
And I'm also interested to see if anybody from the public hears as well, and there's sure. Public comment on that as well. So
yeah, I agree with that. So we've agreed to take it to, just to work better, to take it to the board with no consent of what we want to do. It's just an open discussion. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it'll be discussion and possible feedback to staff on, you know,
what we need to do.
See, and then you guys can have that discussion.
Okay, so. Perfect. So we are aligned. Is there any public comment on that one, Kelly?
There are no hands raised.
Okay, perfect. Are there any future agenda items?
None from staff.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Perfect. So we will close this meeting at 3:54.